Hey, y'all. This is blog post number 2, Cousin Eddie and the Lunatic Fringe. Well, here we go, folks. It's another big week for politics. As you watch Impeachment the Sequel unfold and see the repeated footage of the Capitol attack on January 6th, you may ask yourself, who are these people and where on earth did they come from? In other words, who invited Cousin Eddie to empty his RV waste tank into the driveway of the Republican Party? Well, once upon a time, after the invention of Cheese Whiz, but long before the lava lamp, the Republicans realized they had a problem. Turns out, there were not enough Aussies and Harriets out there for the GOP to keep winning national elections. Rather than broadening their message, they hatched a plan to attract white voters by triggering their fear and frustration over civil rights and integration. This is commonly referred to as the Southern Strategy. It's described by GOP strategist and former party chairman Lee Atwater on a link, and it contains some offensive content, if you wanted a link to that. Anyway, so yeah, that happened. So the messages that began in the 1950s as outright racial slurs became more nuanced in the late 1960s, forced busing and states' rights. By the 1980s, Reagan was using phrases like cutting taxes and limited government, but also appealed to evangelicals who believed America to be a Christian nation, which is the gist of the Christian nationalist movement today. By the way, I love y'all, and I love Jesus, but I'm also a big fan of the Constitution, and it mentions Christianity exactly 0 times, so just know. The 90s brought us the crown jewel of buzzwords, family values. This one packed a big punch, rolling homophobia, anti-abortion, and traditional female roles, also known as subjugation, into one tidy, seemingly harmless phrase. During the Clinton years, the Christian Coalition used family values to chain evangelicals to the elephant and throw away the key. I know because I helped them do it. The next 2 decades would cement the religious right as the largest and most reliable segment of the Republican base, soon to be joined by other right-wing social and fiscal really just social conservatives. Rush Limbaugh and his mockery of feminazis, Pat Buchanan's nationalist anti-trade peasants with pitchforks, and the Tea Party heroine Sarah Don't Retreat Reload Palin were all harbingers of things to come. Christians have been convinced by Republicans to distrust the media and only consume conservative news because everything else was a lie. We're constantly reminded that the evil, socialist, godless, radical liberals in the Democratic Party want to destroy our nation. The GOP became the default party of white America because the messaging appealed to their innate feelings of moral and racial superiority. Simply put, white grievance is there because we put it there. Fast forward to 2016, the stage was perfectly set for Mr. Trump and his arsenal of all the best buzzwords. Law and order, heritage, good people on both sides, rapists. But as you probably noticed, he didn't even bother with subtlety. Further, a disturbing percentage of Trump supporters loved it when he said the quiet things out loud. The uglier and more cringeworthy, the better. The crazier, the better, too. For some people, having a president muse aloud about ingesting Clorox or declaring himself a very stable genius was kind of like watching Hoarders or My 600-Pound Life. No matter how messed up you might be, you couldn't help but feel a little bit better about yourself. Donald Trump normalized people's worst instincts and darkest thoughts. He used Twitter to spread blatant and constant misinformation, the kind of lies that are so outrageous that no sane person would believe them, let alone repeat them. But Trump's deception spread through social media like a Jewish laser forest fire. Rather than consuming traditional news with their pesky editorial boards and silly fact checkers, Trumpers turned to the internet for the real scoop, not seeming to care that the source was likely a Russian troll in a mustard-stained tank top. From here, it's a quick hop to believe that Hillary Clinton runs a pedophile ring out of a DC pizza parlor or that Anderson Cooper eats babies. Conservatives, especially evangelicals, are highly susceptible to conspiracies because they are, by definition, believers. Conditioned to reject information that conflicts with that belief, they are suspicious of the government, mainstream media, intellectual elites, and the scientific community. In a 2018 poll, over half of evangelicals were strongly convinced that the mainstream media produces fake news. QAnon-type groups appeal to Christians because they employ overt spiritual language to connect with their audience. Christians are called to live by faith, not by sight, in 2 Corinthians. They believe that the battle lines of good and evil have been drawn. QAnon's Great Awakening connects loosely with their notions about the end times. Conspiracy theories have always resonated in religious circles, whether it's fearing that Y2K would trigger the apocalypse or believing Trump ballots were overturned by a voting machine in Venezuela. It can be a pretty short trip to Conspiracyville. Here's time for a big fat disclaimer. To be clear, I'm speaking in generalities. I'm not suggesting that all Christians are QAnon kooks or that all Republicans are Trump zombies. If the shoe does not fit, maybe just don't wear it. I am simply saying that after spending decades tending the magic beanstalk, we don't get to feign surprise when we come face to face with a terrifying giant. The party that once spoke boldly of 1,000 points of light is now afraid of its own shadow. America is saddened but not shocked when a House Republican chides Representative Liz Cheney for speaking truth but give her QAnon colleague a standing ovation for spreading lies. The Republicans spent years telling people that Democrats wanted to burn down their churches, shoot their dogs, and teach their children to be socialist homosexual vegetarians. No one ever stopped to think what would happen if people actually believed it. Even now, after an insurrection that resulted in the deaths of 5 people, Republicans will distance, deflect, and try to change the subject. We will hear some strongly worded statements this week from the Republican Senate, but they will not vote to convict. Nothing, it seems, is a deal breaker for this GOP. Until they find the courage to slam the lid on extremism and zealotry within their own base and within their own ranks, we're going to see a whole lot of folks in tinfoil hats squinting at the sky waiting for the signal to release the Kraken. So back to the original question. As you watch the impeachment trial unfold this week, there will be plenty of blame for Cousin Eddie and his unwashed friends. You can blame elected officials who didn't stand up for the truth. You can blame tribal voters who didn't understand the stakes. Or you can blame me and every other Republican operative who foolishly believed that the end would justify the means. It most definitely does not. Only one thing is certain. Now that the Big Ten is packed with extremist weirdos, bearded bigots, and other human oddities, the grand old party is officially a full-blown circus. Enjoy the show.